back. Oh, no, no. And every bet I place, I lose control. 'Cause I'm a maniac, maniac. Oh, no, no. And I'm gonna lose my entire bankroll. Oh my God, I'm ready for this big matchup tomorrow with Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer in Roland Garros. Who's with me on that one? Because Roger Federer is going to try to beat the King of Clay. Has anybody even looked at this line? Plus 500 for the Federer of all Federers. Are you serious? People, we're talking the greatest tennis player ever, arguably, against his nemesis, who he has dominated for five straight times dating back to 2017. I know it's on clay. I know it's a different surface. It favors Rafa, always has and always will. But you know what? They haven't played on clay since Federer changed that backhand, now have they? And that was how Nadal dominated Federer. He dominated him. The only surface that he actually didn't do well on was grass against him. And if you look at the matchups back then, he was really, really close to beating him, quite frankly, more than he lost on that surface. But he didn't. But he did hold a 23-10 edge until the last five meetings, which is now 23-15, a little bit closer. And he holds a massive edge in majors, I think 9-3, before the last one, which is in the Australian Open, was 9-2. And his only two losses were on grass in two Wimbledon finals when Rafa was 19 and 20 years old, a little bit young. But this ain't the same Federer, folks. It's crazy for me to even say this, but he's better than he was when he was 28 against Nadal. Now, maybe overall he's not better because he's not as young and youthful, but I would beg to say that he might be very close to where he was back then. And don't forget, Federer accumulated probably 10 or 12 of his majors against no Nadal and no Djokovic. And two of those, he beat Nadal, 9-2, remember? Actually, 2-9 against Rafa in Grand Slams, when Rafa was 19 and 20 years old. So he literally won probably 12 of his majors with neither one of those guys in his face. And in addition to that, the two he did beat Nadal in before the 17 Australian Open was when Nadal was still basically a teenager / 20. So, not to take anything away from Federer, but he won a majority of his majors without those two guys in his face. And when he would win majors, like the one French Open that he won was when Nadal lost to Soderingly. Nadal wasn't there. He never would have won a French Open if it wasn't for that. So there's one right there. And then when Djokovic was having some issues mentally and Nadal was hurt and injured, he was able to accumulate a couple more late in his career. He's won four in his 30s, which is crazy. But he won 40 in his 30s, not necessarily because Nadal wasn't in his way and because Djokovic wasn't figuring it out. It was because he figured it out. His backhand is unbelievable compared to where it was, let's say, 10 years ago. And that's a huge difference in this matchup. And no one's talking about it. The bookmakers are throwing a massive line out there, which is crazy. Now, mind you, Rafa is unbelievable on clay, and the ball holds up, which plays perfectly into his top spin. And if he plays aggressive like he has been, shortening at the points, which I've been arguing for Rafa to been doing for the last 5 to 6 years because of his injuries, Carlos Moya, his coach, is now finally instilling that in him. And in the last two tournaments, including the Italian Open, that he absolutely dominated Djokovic, was because he took the ball early and he shortened the points. And Djokovic didn't know what to do. And he dominated him. And now I look back and I say, God, if Rafa would have played like that earlier in his career, how many more championships would he have won? How much longer would he be have preserved his body? And how much more would he have dominated not only Federer but Djokovic? Now, we'll see if that holds true in this one. He might beat him in straights and absolutely destroy him because of the way he's trying to play now, which is a lot different than what Federer is used to. Long rallies with looping balls, keeping it in the court and working him left to right, setting him up. And he's improved his serve, which there was one time when his serve was lights out, and that was when he beat Federer in Wimbledon. And that's why he won, in my opinion, was because his serve was sick that year. And his second Wimbledon title, which I don't believe he beat either Djokovic or Federer in, his serve was sick then too. And then it went back to the normal, you know, just slicing the ball in there around 99 to 105 on a second serve. Brutal. But let's be honest, and this is a very bold statement to make, but it's very true, I believe. Rafa Nadal, you could argue, is the greatest single athlete ever in the history of any sport in terms of a dominance, from a dominance perspective, that he's done in clay. He's 91-2 all time in 14 years at Roland Garros. That's hard to fathom. He's only lost twice in 14 years on the clay in one of the four majors, and he's won 11 titles. It's sickening. Absolutely sick. No other athlete that I can think of has ever dominated one singular event in his respective sport like Rafa Nadal has, Roland Garros. It's absolutely amazing. And if Nadal wasn't having injury issues, I don't even know. I mean, the kid might win 2, 3, 4 more of those. And he probably would have won a couple more Aussie Opens. He wouldn't have choked against Stan Wawrinka when his back gave out on him. He'd have won that one, I'm pretty sure of it, because at that time, I don't think he had lost to Stan. He was like 12-0 or something, 10-0. So that was an anomaly. That's another Aussie title. I don't believe he would have lost to Federer at the Aussie, even though he was in good shape, and Federer was coming off a knee injury. He lost in 5, and he was up a break in the 5th. But he got loose with his forehands, and he didn't stay aggressive, and Federer did. Stepped inside the court, flattened the ball out, stayed aggressive, and went for his shots. And Nadal got surprised by that and didn't know how to adjust because Carlos Moya wasn't his dedicated coach yet, and it was his old uncle who coached him and didn't change. And just kept doing what he was always doing. And Federer was the one to make adjustments. Thus, he beat him. Because if it wasn't for that, Federer would have lost that one too. And then you bring you up to the most recent final, the Aussie Open this year with Novak. And Novak's held his edge against Nadal. I just think it's a bad matchup for Nadal, honestly, even though they're basically even head-to-head. But Novak has really beat him on all the surfaces and, quite frankly, dominated him in the last 5 or 6 majors, quite frankly. So I have to give him the edge. And matter of fact, I think Novak's the best player of them all. He's dominated Federer and he's dominated Nadal. So it's hard to argue against it, even though he's only got 15 majors. But at this rate, he's going for another freaking Noel Slam 2 times in his career if he wins the French. And he might. I wouldn't put it past him. He could win. Because he's so silky smooth with his forehand and backhand. And his serve and his movement around the court. And his all-around game is just sick. If it wasn't for his brain being messed up his first 5 years of his career, he probably would have already shattered a bunch of records and probably would be at 20 majors by himself and tied with Federer. But he's not, because he couldn't get it right between the ears. But all that said, back to Nadal. Nadal is literally the greatest athlete in one singular event in all of sports, in my opinion. And that's just not because I like the guy. It's just, that's the stats. That's the facts. And how do you see two arch rivals on a surface that, yes, one is dominated, such as the way Nadal has, minus 700? Are you serious? All that's illustrating is the dominance that Rafa Nadal has in this singular event. No way Roger Federer, at the level he's playing, as good as he is as an overall player, even at 37, and his ultimate greatness in the sport of tennis be a plus 500 underdog in the semifinals of Roland Garros? Really is amazing. I suggest putting a little baby coin on Federer. Put $50, $25 on him. Why not? All it takes is a little tweak in Nadal's back or his ankle or knee during a match or even before the match. Loser. Cash that ticket. Big fat winner. Why wouldn't you? I mean, when are you going to get Federer at plus 500? The only way you'll get him at plus 500 is, one, the book being crazy actually offering it, in my opinion, even though he might get dominated and I'm going to look like a fool and everyone else who bets it. But it's still value, though. It's all about value. The book's basically saying he's only got a 10% chance to win. There's too many variables right now, including the fact that Federer has dominated him the last five meetings, and his backhand is significantly better, and Nadal has shown weakness on the clay in this particular year, losing three of the four clay tournaments that he was in. He lost three times in the semis. This is the semis. He lost to Tsitsipas. He lost to Fognini. And he lost to, I can't even remember now, Dominic Thiem, I think he lost in the other semifinal. So look, he's vulnerable. This isn't Nadal of even last year. But he sure looked like Nadal of last year and throughout his career in the Italian Open. So with that being said, yeah, he could destroy him. But there's value. So we're suggesting a small wager, baby coin-like, on Roger Federer plus the 500. We also like Texas tonight, Rangers. It's a big money line. We're laying about 175, 180. That's why we're correlating that with an under the 11. We think that's pretty high, even though they got a pretty good offense and the team they're playing. Now you can combine for 11 runs. That's hard in baseball, man. That's hard. So we're correlating a parlay tonight, minus 175 with an under 11 in Texas. Correlate that parlay. It should pay a little over 2-1, maybe 2-1. We think it's got great value there as well. And then finally, next weekend, we're going to talk maybe a little bit about that, but we like the Pebble Beach U.S. Open with the three-headed monster again of Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, and Brooks. So Brooks, Dustin, and Rory is another three-way bet on the futures to win the U.S. Open. So to recap, we like those three in the U.S. Open. We like a correlated parlay in Texas and the Texas under in baseball. And we also like Roger Federer tomorrow at 6:50 a.m. if you're willing to wake up early in the morning and watch it versus Rafa at Roland Garros for a little bit of baby coin. So I hope everyone's having a good night. And we will have hopefully another podcast quickly. We did a double dipper tonight. We had Reverend Sharp on earlier. We need to get this out as well. So hopefully we'll be talking to you guys shortly. Peace.